This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.
You're listening to the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham. It's Quantum Theater and Scenes from an Execution by Howard Barker. Andrew William Smith is here, and the star of the show, Lisa Velton Smith. So great to meet you both. We're looking forward to this fantastic production at an unusual venue. No heads will roll in this set of scenes from an execution. It's over at the Abiding Missions. I must admit, I've never been there. It's in Allentown. Some people think that's way east in Pennsylvania, but it's right here on the south side of Pittsburgh. Am I correct so far?
Yes, it's a little hill town right above the Liberty Tunnel.
Super easy to get to from our home in O'Hara Township.
And it actually really points a direction at what Quantum does by finding these wonderful neighborhoods in Pittsburgh and sort of shining a light on them and getting people to come in. And Allentown is a wonderful choice for a location.
Beautiful. Quantum Theater tells us that Howard Barker offers 16th century Venice as a setting to provoke 21st century audiences in his play of ideas, examining the relationship between art and power with humor and sensuality. Themes of personal ambition and moral responsibility collide when rebel female painter Galactica, that's you, Lisa, commissioned by the Doge to paint a vast canvas celebrating a triumphant battle. What will she do it his way? This play defies expectation, and we can't predict how you will feel at the end. That's the official word from Quantum Theater. Is it accurate to say?
Yes. I'd say it's very accurate. It is it's a play written in the 1980s about a 16th century female playwright that we are presenting in 2024 Pittsburgh. So it sort of hops around a little bit of the centuries. But the thing that unifies it is ultimately, I think the play is about the truth, the quest for the truth, searching for the truth. What is the truth? Who commands the truth? How much of the truth is truth to ourselves, or how much of the truth is we are maybe not telling the truth to ourselves? The play delves into that through the lens of this rebellious and ferocious and passionate female artist in late 16th century Venice, shortly after the Battle of Lepanto.
It's really clever, it's very funny, and you have big characters telling this story. And you're absolutely right. No heads will roll, but we are watching the execution of a painting being done and seeing it from the beginning to the end.
Howard Barker, what do we know about the author of this play?
Yeah, Howard Barker is a British playwright. He is still alive and writing to this day. He is a writer that is not interested in answering questions, but perhaps more interested in provoking them, in raising ideas and then wrestling with them through many different points of view. He founded in 1988 a company dedicated to his work called The Wrestling Club, in which they would just wrestle with these ideas. And so as a result, the play is just chock full of these ideas and characters coming from certain points of view that while you may think your point of view is solid within you, suddenly you get presented with a certain argument that may ask you to question a little bit more as the play continues to get deeper and deeper around issues of the truth.
And I'll add that I think what's exciting about him as a playwright is he's not spoon-feeding ideas into anyone. So anyone that comes to see it is going to walk away with their own interpretation, with their own opinion. And that, I think, is really exciting in this day and age, where people often, when I'm watching things, can guess the ending. You're not going to be able to guess the ending on this one.
And what is the theater of catastrophe with Howard Barker? Does it enter in here?
It does. Theater of catastrophe really, that is a self-coined term that Howard Barker has created to sort of surround some of the ethos of his work. And it has to do with power, with gender. It has to do with human sexuality and some of the motivations behind all of that. It is a way to sort of bring in some of the complicated, messy truth that sometimes might be out there. This phrase, theater of catastrophe, it tends to live in these extraordinarily big worlds with big characters who are very funny and alive and passionate. The language is extremely visceral and specific and kind of biting and very witty, But I think the best thing about it is that it is deeply accessible. It's not a language where people will be put off by it, but I think it's a language where people get intrigued by it. And it actually provides a wonderful doorway for each audience member.
Lisa, would you tell us about your cast, the other folks that are working with you on stage?
We have actually my boss, who is Robert Ramirez, playing the Doge in his Pittsburgh theatrical debut. And he is fantastic. He is fierce when he needs to be fierce and hilarious when he needs to be hilarious. Bria Walker-Rose, someone who has graced the Pittsburgh stages and who also brings a phenomenal grace and stature to our set. We have a big cast. I think it's a cast of 10. Mm-hmm. And that is unusual in terms of what we often get to see in this day and age. And Andrew has done a phenomenal job of at times getting us all onto the set together. I also have the pleasure of acting alongside two of my students who are now in their senior year. And that is actually an incredibly special treat to be able to have taught them in their first year. And then not only get to see them in their second year here at CMU, but also be able to be on stage with them as their castmate.
Oh, what fun. That sounds great. The play, I'm sure, will be right in the middle of where Quantum Theater fans live. This is Carla Boos' expertise in presenting this kind of multi-layered material. But for a new Quantum Theater, somebody who's never been to one of their productions for the first time, sounds like it would also be a nice introduction for them.
Yes, I would imagine so. Quantum Theater has an incredible amount of ambition. They really are able to tackle really big ideas and really big projects and grand scopes as well as small plays as well. But they have a certain brand of ambition that is incredible. And I think their audiences plug right into that. Their audiences are willing to go to places they haven't been before, to go to different locations and experience a whole new genre and style. So if anything, this is a perfect fit for the Quantum audience, because this is a play that respects the audience and really allows the audience to think and feel on their own without any expectations or any right answers. But it definitely expects that the audience will absorb and grow and think and learn. And it's very exciting for that matter.
I'd recommend anybody that's listening to this conversation, check out the trailer that's on the Quantum website. It just in a very short, under a minute, puts together a powerful message of mood and fun and sexiness. I think that really came together well, wouldn't you say, that it represents the gist of what you're doing?
I do. It's got a visceral energy where characters are very passionate. I think the thing that's most surprising about this play, for all the times I've used the word passion and ferocious and visceral, it is one of the funniest plays that I have been a part of. And that is a real credit to these actors, first of all, that they're able to crack open the humor within this. But it's also, it's important for people to know that while this play may be very serious and tackle some big, deep subjects, it's also hugely entertaining and a lot of fun to come watch.
Are you spending a lot of time at the easel there, Galactia? Did you ever see the result? Brush on the canvas?
Right. More in my sketchbook, actually. So trying to get my practicing my artistry. But what is actually really even more exciting than the sketchbook is the fact that the set, it goes, how high do you think the set is?
Probably 30 or 40 feet high.
Right. And so I am actually working on the painting at this great height. And we have our lighting designer, Todd Brown, having lit a beautiful set that is designed by Chelsea Warren. And so that is an additional thrilling aspect of this play that folks can come see.
Fantastic. I have to ask the two of you about working together. Last I heard, you are related in real life. Is that correct? Husband and wife?
Right.
So how does that work with the direction, Andrew and Lisa? Is it easy or hard?
It actually, we met in graduate school. And so the source of our relationship was working as a pair, collaborating, artistically engaging each other, asking questions, pushing each other. So I think we've always, that was the source of how we met and where we began. And we did a lot of that in grad school, actually. There were some times in our professional life early on where we could sort of cross paths a little bit, but to some degree, our paths have taken us away from each other. As parenthood has evolved, right, then you can do a project and I won't, so I can take care of the house and vice versa, and we really try to support each other with what each other needs. So our children are now sort of at the teenage or tweenage years, and they're starting to have their own level of independence themselves. And so this has turned into an opportunity for us to really come back together to where we started, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a beautiful place, because I definitely feel a great degree of trust, both that I feel for that Lisa gives me, but I hope that she feels that I give her, a combination of just respect for the artist, right? I have my relationship with you as my wife and partner, but my respect for you as an independent, autonomous artist is its own source of energy and power, really. So I think we share in that. And then it just becomes a professional relationship that's just really collaborative and really fun. So it's been very, very nice.
The advantage, though, that I get is because of the nature of Galactea, and how much space she takes up, and what is being asked of me in terms of embodying her and carrying her story forward. It is incredibly helpful to have someone that I have a language with already that can continue to guide me in that path. So there is a wonderful, wonderful collaboration to be able to do this with my husband as I get to bring her to life.
Well, you have to put out your sign for, what would I say, not consulting, but recommendations regarding a happy married life between artists after the show is over. I'm sure, but you've done it before. There's a whole host of interesting things that happen around Quantum Theater Productions. You got to check the website for all the talkbacks and meet the artists and meals that are related. Do you have a favorite of any of those things? It's always nice when you have a chance to talk to the audience. I think they love having the opportunity to ask questions. Anything you'd recommend that people particularly check out?
I love the talkbacks. I am always up for a talkback to engage with the audience. I joke with my students, would you do a play if you never had an audience? And the answer is no, you wouldn't, because you're not doing it for yourself in a vacuum. You're doing it for that dialogue, for that community, for that sense of belonging and looking forward to perhaps engaging in ideas that you haven't thought of before. So the talkback allows for that. The talkback is where I often learn even more about the play, because I'm in it and because I've been in it with this wonderful group of people for a certain amount of time. It's really refreshing to be able to have fresh eyes ask me a question. And there've been numerous times where I've gone, oh, I never thought about that. And that question then takes me into a deeper place in terms of exploring the play from there on out. So highly recommend the talkbacks if anyone is interested.
Very good. And it might be possible to catch you at the stage door as well on my way out. Do you ever appear on the street and shake hands with the folks who've been inside the theater?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's key to provide the opportunity to connect. Theater teaches us something. Yeah. And sometimes we know immediately what it is that it teaches us. And sometimes that lesson can bubble up moments later, minutes later, hours later, or years later. And so the point of theater is to connect us. And so if we as artists can connect with you through our stories that are told on stage or through in person afterwards on the sidewalk, that's the lifeblood of what we do. And it gives us a great charge.
And that's what's wonderful about Pittsburgh audiences,
right,
is that you have, and with Quantum Theater, you have a local cast. And there have been times where I've engaged with audience members. I saw them in a museum, but they had come seeing a show. And there really is, it's really exciting for an artist to be able to engage with folks who have been moved or are curious or have ideas based on this show that they saw.
I've got to ask you a little bit about the two of you, Lisa and Andrew. You're active at Carnegie Mellon University, but you're drawing on a vast resume, vitae of fantastic theater experiences. Would you mention one or two highs, things that you love, that you go back to, that you mention to your students that you can't believe you were involved in? Just things in your theater career that you think people might be interested to know about what you've done with such a long list of accomplishments.
Sure, I'll speak to that a little bit. I'm co-artistic director of a small theater company in New York City called Project Y Theater Company. And we do a Women in Theater Festival every June in New York, where we rent a space for a month and bring in all sorts of projects. Some of those projects are ones that we've been working on for a while. Some of them are visiting companies. And it really provides an incredible outlet to keep me in the here and now, to put my work in New York, and to provide an outlet for new writers. It allows me to bring people from Pittsburgh, bring students from Pittsburgh, other faculty members. And we do this under a festival setting, so it can be many different things at once. And this festival can serve as a means for the moment. What the moment may ask for this year might be different than what it asks for next year. So that, for me and that company, has continued to be a wonderful source of inspiration and the ability to consistently respond to where I am as an artist in the real world in real time.
Last year, I was lucky to be able to have been cast in season 2 of American Rust in a recurring guest star role, Nell McKenna. That has just dropped yesterday. And I had the pleasure of working with Jeff Daniels and learning from Jeff Daniels. And that, I think our ability to be able to have one foot in the professional world continues to inform our teaching. I'm continuing to try to challenge myself and make sure that what I'm bringing to the students is valid, up to date, and has been practiced. And so last year's experience was really informative in that. I keep learning. We all keep learning with every job that we have. And being able to bring that back to the students is, I think, something that I'm incredibly proud of.
You mentioned American Rust something yesterday. I just saw a headline in the Post-Gazette today, I think, about American Rust. What was the news? Something, is it being renewed, or what's happening?
I don't know if season 3 is coming out, but what happened is yesterday is the premiere. So it all dropped on Amazon. We shot it all last year, and then we had the strike, and then they were able to finish it up. And so right now you can go watch it on Amazon Prime.
Excellent. All right. Got to do that. And Andrew, I'm sure it's tedious when people ask you about the little things you're all the way at the bottom of your resume. But I got to ask you about, it looks like you had some soap opera experience somewhere along the way. One Life to Live, As the World Turns, and Guiding Light. Is that a memorable experience for you?
Yeah, I got in before the whole genre really sort of switched and changed. It was really a fantastic experience, because it's just, you're swept into something so fast. And I got, you know, I was getting up at 3 a.m. in order to get there. Didn't really know what was going on. Got handed my lines awfully quick, a quick rehearsal and onto the set. And it was really wonderful, because it forced me just to work well immediately. There's no second takes, right? You kind of get a one take wonder and then you move on, which is why some of the soap operas sort of land in that sort of campy dramatic land. But I really enjoyed it. And it was a great icebreaker for me as a young actor in New York to get a time to get up early and get out to a set and meet people. And I actually have some people that I've met on that set that I'm still friendly and friends with today.
Do people still say, I saw you on The Guiding Light, or does that ever come up now and then?
I don't know. I haven't received it recently. So I don't know how many people are watching Guiding Light from anymore these days in my world, but I look forward to that.
I just think it's wonderful that you have that experience. It brings the theater to so many, such a broad swath of audience. It's a wonderful introduction. So be proud of that work for sure. Okay, last call. Anything else we should say about this fantastic show, Scenes from an Execution? We haven't mentioned the Abiding Missions too much. If you've never been there, it's worth seeing it. And there's a La Familia nearby. There's all kinds of nice restaurants. The website has directions of how to go to various places if you've not been to that corner of Pittsburgh. Anything else we should mention that we haven't hit on yet?
No, just come early. Arrive early, allow yourself to get a parking space and to get yourself into the theater. And just be ready for an adventure of joy and passion and humor, and be ready to learn something and to discover something that you may not have expected.
Oh, I saw no late seating. That's always a little scary. Why no late seating? It'll ruin the flow of the action.
Well, it actually has to do with Quantum Theater is a very, very creative, always uses the space very creatively. And so in this one, if you come into the space as an audience member, you will be walking right through the middle of the stage in order to get to your seat. So yeah, there's no late seating because otherwise you would be a part of the show.
I want to wish you both the best. Toy, 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 break a leg. Have a wonderful show running the 5th of April through the 27th. Abiding Missions over on the South Side, Allentown, 731 Excelsior Street. Scenes from an Execution. Andrew and Lisa Smith, you two are the best. Thanks. It was a joy to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to Carnegie Museum of Art.